Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to episode 540 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Surprise, surprising no one, Glennie is on one again. Aren't you, mate? How you going?
I'm a fucking delight. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. He's just spent the last 20 minutes with us sitting here while he looked for something to make himself look less dark.
Yeah, which is frankly like topical if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, quality.
Fucking hell.
Here I am. I still look red, even in the dark. Stupid influencer light working.
Yeah, no, it is strange how dark. I mean, like, why don't you just have a light on in your fucking room, man?
I do. I mean, I've got both lights. Corner. They're just
It looks like the one on your left behind you, the bulb's blown.
Yeah, it's fucked. It needs replacing. That's a weekend job.
Anyway, that's riveting for people who can't actually see.
That's
so,
it.
You brought it up.
Glennie's looking dark.
Why don't we talk about your room?
We don't
it looks
have a
like
problem
shit
with that.
Because
we don't
you're
have a
in
problem
it.
With that.
No. No, we do not. We would never ever say anything derogatory about your shade, Glennie.
Exactly.
I'm glad to
we
hear
even
it.
You to say that all by yourself.
Don't discriminate against reds.
Are we going to launch straight into that business or what?
Why not?
What else is there to talk
it seems
about?
To be...
There's no Toowoomba Seagrave
yeah, exactly.
Touch.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, that's other stuff fucking ages. I mean, if you're a committed listener of the podcast, yeah, particularly where it comes to Toowoomba Seagrave Touch, I mean, you may as well take the fucking month off.
Because, or if you play Seagrave Touch in Toowoomba and you only ever listen to the first 10 to 15 minutes of the podcast just to get your fill off touch football, probably turn it off now and come back later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
you're saying,
Glennie, this season we've got to do the Seagrave Touch review at the end.
Nah,
it's like the fucking I don't think they haven't got
that in them. They're not listening through this bullshit to get to Seagrave at the end.
We're going to find out, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're going to find out. And you can test them at training. Maybe it could be a criteria, like, you know, who runs on.
They'll be like, yeah, it's not
the
start. We stopped listening. Shut up and train, fatty. That's what they'll say.
We'll just start throwing shade at the end of the episode. Be like, there's a fucking cunt in the link position last week. It's fucking useless.
Nope.
Let's see if he swings at you at training.
We'll not be saying that.
Now, listen, we had Las Vegas was a tremendous success. But it was marred with like 11 minutes to go in the second game where Spencer Lanoue allegedly racially abused Ezra Mamm of the Broncos, reportedly calling him a monkey in the second of... It seemed like sort of 5 minutes earlier there was like a... It was like they came together, and then it went. And the next time the Broncos were heading down that way, then the actual incident happened. And so yeah, on the field at the time, the referee, he didn't hear it, but Ezra Mamm elected to make a formal complaint, and it's going through to the judiciary to be assessed. Then later on that night, the two teams which. Look, I guess you don't expect there to be bad blood in games and things like that, but the two teams' hotel rooms were on the same floor, like right apart from each other. And
oh, no.
It just so happened that Spencer Lanoue was returning to his room with, I think, a media manager or whatever of the Roosters, and from the other direction comes Katoni Staggs, Ezra Mamm, and someone else who I forget. And so Spencer Lanoue then goes at Mamm again. so telling him that, you know, you got to leave things on the field. And to me, as alleged as the statement he made on the field was, the fact that he's saying you should leave it on the field implies to me that it exists and happens.
That is as close to an admission.
Yeah. And then you get his cousin on Instagram putting posts up, like, you know, overlaying comments, like things like, now all the tribe are crying or something. Like, he's like...
And that was over
Latrell's reel, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another one he did afterwards as well, which is even worse. And so let's just say it hasn't been a banner week for the wider Lanoue clan. And that'd be happening as we speak, right?
Judiciary.
The judiciary.
You talk, I'll goog.
Yeah, okay. Look, I mean, obviously we don't need to really clarify where we stand on this matter. I mean, like, well, at least me and Jay. I mean,
yeah.
You guys are fuckheads. We've got to, you know, honestly.
Glennie's being up in Toowoomba. I mean, Glennie's probably telling to sit at, take a seat in the fucking famous brown stand and shut up. But I mean, me and stepdad don't feel that way at all. So I mean, we've got a majority rule here. By majority rule, this podcast does not condone racism in any form.
Spencer Glenew may have other things to say.
Fuck. Nate, say something so I can see the camera pan to you and you jotting that down. You fucker.
Would it surprise you to learn that title has already been ceded like 3 days ago?
Right, okay. No, it doesn't surprise me.
Stepdad was waiting to fucking he was waiting to drop that on you. No. I didn't know if it was in our chat or if you just texted it to me or if you put it in the group chat.
I thought I put it in the group chat.
Nope.
Yeah, I thought you did too, but yeah.
No. Shows how much attention I pay when Jerry's name comes up on my phone.
So, Glennie, do you have any comments to make? What do you see the punishment being? What do you think would be fair in terms of length of punishment or whatever? Do you think that any punishment is fair indeed at all if they can't acquire, you know, clear audio that proves whether it did or not? You know, like whether you can actually hear it on any audio. I know myself, I went back and watched that part of the game on the Channel 9 stream and on the KO stream. And it just so happens that, like, right before the break in play where it happens, it's broken down because Reese Walsh, you know, had a fractured pussy or something. And the commentators, the camera was on him, and all the commentators are just talking about, you know, what happened to Reese Walsh? He's down on his haunches, blah, blah, blah. And so the other stuff's happening, you know, 15 meters infield. And the cameras aren't there. Nothing. And it wasn't until afterwards, then they pan up and they go, "Oh, okay, something's happened." And you know, the referee's calling players out and so on. So, give me your thoughts, Glennie.
Look, it's as you say. It's not something that we need to make a lot of comments about where we stand. Right? We've made we've discussed
at least 66% of this podcast are very anti-racism.
Okay, no, that's fantastic. I really appreciate your input. of course, the only part of this podcast that has a black wife and a black kid. But yes, no, I'm a racist. No, it's fantastic.
You're an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
I commend Ezra Mam for standing up and making that formal complaint, and I'm disappointed not only in the act itself and the from Lenu, but the old adage of what happens on the field stays on the field shouldn't and doesn't obviously in this case apply to racial slurs, and I think the game's progressed past that, and I'm glad that Ezra Mam had the power of his convictions to stand up and make that formal complaint and stand on it. I actually like that people like Latrell and other significant Indigenous players within the NRL have stood up behind him. Yep. I think that's important. And I think Lenu deserves to be punished. Probably doesn't deserve to be hung, drawn, and quartered. I think he needs to face the music. He needs to face a punishment.
I mean, John Hoppawattie fingered a guy, and he didn't get fucking executed being pulled apart by horses.
You know, it's a lot of the times, you know, we talk about teachable moments, and I think this is one. But he definitely deserves to face consequences. I think that's an important part of the process. But equally as important is that he and certainly some members of his family probably have some education to get up to speed on and you know, learn from it. And I think that's an important way forward with this sort of rubbish behaviour. But if he faces the music and he cops the punishment, I think it'll be fairly extensive and a long suspension. But you know, to learn from it and hopefully that's, you know, one or a few more people that understand how hurtful those types of comments are and do better in the future. It's what we hope.
I'll tell you, the thing I can't fucking stand here is fucking Spenny's managers come out. Quality human being, as we know all managers are. And
who's his manager?
I don't fucking know.
Michael Redpath.
No. It's, okay. Yeah. Not him, which is my separation for managers' personality traits.
Redpath, and then we have a group, him. Not Redpath.
Yeah. the Venn diagram. Separate, but he's coming out and saying, "Oh well, because you know, multiple NRL players have come out and said, no, if that's gone on, that is not okay. It needs punishment. The punishment needs to be severe, and mm-hmm. and we stand behind that." And the manager's coming out saying, "Oh, they all need to be quiet. They shouldn't be commenting or suggesting he's guilty." Or saying he should be suspended because now it's impossible for him to have a fair hearing. And it's this constant fucking bullshit. Like, don't even get me started on the fact that these dumb fucks turn up with actual lawyers to not a courtroom. They turn up with actual real-life lawyers and pay real-life lawyer fees to go not to court.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fucking joke. This one should just be as simple as the NRL rules on it. Too fucking bad. You can write down, you shouldn't have a lawyer there to defend you.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that they can find audio just to put it all, you know, to take it out of any realm of fuckheads, not the people involved, but the fuckheads around the discourse.
Yep.
So people can't say shit about it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because it's just a shit show. Otherwise, I'm mostly disappointed in Lenu, and like obviously the comments are the first thing, but then after the game, even when they said like you worried about anything like that, and he was just like so like not at all like so casual I didn't do shit. Then he goes and pursues him later on that night to sort of to do the whole stays on the field thing, but then you get these fucking people around it as well, like fucking Ivan Cleary. Had no fucking business speaking up about this shit. He should have shut his fucking hole. But he comes out and he's like, it's not his go, blah blah blah. Like, listen.
You defended
the guy that fucking did.
Oh, here comes Ivan Cleary's lawyer to defend him, not in court.
No. Yeah, they've gone to Ivan and asked him for a comment.
He defended Taylor. When then you just say, listen, I've got no comment. He doesn't play for my team.
Ivan's not going to sit there and go, oh, well, I mean, yes, I always had my suspicions. You know, one time I found a copy of the Blakely manifesto in his fucking training kit. So I always knew he had it in him. He just goes, it was out of character. I never saw it in him. Plus, there's
He did say, if he had said it exactly like that, then there wouldn't have been a problem.
What did he say?
I don't have the thing open in front of me, but I mean, he sort of went to bat to vouch for like the character sort of thing, which he didn't, say no comment, because I mean, this is the same guy that, you know, vouched for the character of his son when he was fucking breaking the COVID rules and lying about it, and then the guy that was fucking filming the chicks while he was fucking banging them and sending the revenge porn around, who later was run out of the game in Australia for that.
And I tell you,
you know, maybe that should be evidence. Maybe that should be evidence about the fact that, Lynn, you actually did fucking do it.
Not only does he fucking back the players, he puts his money where his mouth is and lets them date his daughter. So, you know, he can't fault his conviction to his fucking position.
That's true.
Just surely, like
fucking,
though.
Just like Jim Jones and fucking...
Oh, fuck.
The Guyana crew.
Surely the fact that they spoke about it afterwards, and there would have been multiple witnesses afterwards, yeah, where he said you should have left it on the field. Then that bullshit stuff where he's come off the field and that everyone's gone, oh, you worried about your racial complaint, and he's just gone, oh, nah, it's just a bit of banter on the field.
Yeah. No, you're worried about, right. Not at all. And then the other person that I was disappointed by was Trent Robinson, when he was sitting on the panel at the end of the game and had like Gordy and Fletch and Hindy on there, and they were sort of, you know, doing a bit of rundown. When they came to that question, he was saying something like, he's going, look, you know, he's like, Ezra's adamant about, you know, about what was said, but that doesn't mean he's right.
Yeah.
And I think, motherfucker, what's the East media manager doing at this point, though?
No.
I mean, both of those cunts should have been thrown in fucking Guantanamo for the rest of the Vegas thing. Don't speak to anybody. Don't say shit, because you cunts clearly, despite no doubt the hours and hours and hours of media training you've been afforded, particularly Trey Robinson by the club, you've learned fucking nothing.
But the saddest thing,
shut up,
thing
say
is,
the process will play out in the judiciary, then that's it.
He's going to now have a target on his back, and rightly so. And yeah, it's not because he did what he did. You know what? If he'd have come out and said something and then afterwards realised it was the wrong thing and I'm so sorry and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, remorseful and genuinely sorry about it.
Yeah. Actually, you know, said himself, like, you know, look, it was a heat of the moment thing. I mean, that shit is not
that's
on.
It.
I expect to be punished for it, and
yeah,
you know, whatever happens, you know, happens, because we can't do
it.
You know, we can't do that in the game.
Exactly. Latrell's not inviting him round for fucking Sunday dinners at this stage. However, at the moment, he's had almost every prominent Indigenous player in the comp.
Yep.
Post something about it. And they'll fucking remember this very... And it is just that lackadaisical attitude about it that gets them.
Yeah, just super cavalier.
You know, and...
But yeah.
It's sad because people in his heritage have suffered in different ways as well at the hands of the same style of history that Indigenous Australians have suffered from.
You know, and not to mention that fucking the racist rednecks, I'm sure, don't even paint any differentiation between them at all.
Yeah,
and would throw the exact same slurs at the both of them.
Yeah,
indiscriminately.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's disappointing, and also the fact that it's kind of, because it's an ongoing story that hasn't yet been wrapped up by the media, you know, because of the sentence or whatever hasn't come down. I mean, it's this, like, lingering, you know, bad vibe after all of the awesome shit that come out of that weekend in Vegas.
So here we are. There's nothing official. Fresh Vision shows how the Broncos reacted to Len Yu amid racism saga.
That's just, like, on the field when
Walters is willing to testify.
I'm not sure Kevy's got anything that he can really say other than speak to the effect it had on
Billy.
Oh, okay.
Walters. Yeah. I understand. You forget that he's a first grade player, don't you? I do too.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? We'll keep abreast. We'll keep refreshing so that tomorrow when you actually listen to this and it has broken, we can tell you it's broken.
Yeah, all we can say at this stage, it is not broken. And look, you know, and I hope that he learns his lesson after the 8 weeks that he that he receives in suspension. Mm. We'll just drop in the number there at the end. All right. What do you want to talk about now, Glennie? Do you want to talk about Vegas? You got something else you want to bring in?
Oh, I think
this is one feature of the show this year.
The overwhelming
one feature of the show this year is that we're not going to be we're doing it live. We're just fucking
just winging it.
We're just winging.
Yeah,
we're winging this shit.
But
and live from the internet.
Just so it's people can still feel comfortable and cling to the things they love most. You guys are still fuckheads, so that's important.
I think the whole Vegas thing,
outside of that incident was great. We spoke about it, in regards to, you know, the week leading up and the games themselves, the stadium, the field, it was all amazing. Ratings come out today and the media's jumped all over that and are shitting on it. But I was pretty happy with Philandi's after the Brisbane Roosters game where he said, you know, this is we're here for 5 years. It might take 3 or 4 years to get the numbers that we're hoping to get, but we're playing the long game and this is step one of the process. And I think that's a important comment for him to make, to show this isn't just a flash in the pan. There is a legitimate attempt here to make some headway, and, you know, increase revenue streams, you know, more market presence and more viewers and more sponsorship dollars and all of which can only benefit the game as a whole. And hopefully it happens from grassroots all the way through to the peak of sport. So overwhelmingly, I think it was a great event. This, you know, now they've got the first one out of the way, there's no doubt some tweaks and adjustments and things that they have worked out that they could probably do better. I don't know what they are because to me it looked great, but
It almost went off pretty much flawlessly in terms of like the event management side of things.
Yeah, and I was actually really impressed with Abdo and Vlandis when they were talking to the panel there after the game. They actually handled that and spoke very well and in overwhelmingly positive terms about the game and the experience in Vegas and what they have planned and the strategy behind it. And I think the more I see of those guys as unlikely a couple of administrators or heads of the game as they might be in very differing personalities, they actually complement each other quite nicely. Philandis is a pretty footloose and fancy free operator. It comes from, you know, the borderline mafia world of racing, and you can tell Abdo's a lot more polished. And yeah, you know, they're not always gonna get it right, and they're gonna have their detractors. That's the nature of the positions they're in. But it's a big tick on the Vegas trip.
I think the game's been in crisis mode for such a majority of the last, you know, at least 5 years, if not even longer, with, you know, constant player behavior issues. And cast your mind back. Like, the stuff we had this offseason is absolutely nothing. There was a stage where it was constant DV, glassings and drunken fights and all this other stuff was going on almost constantly throughout the year. Then obviously the COVID period, and would the game shut down, and could it keep going, and where are we going to play, and all of that other stuff. It's really nice to have a sport and a league behind it that has a plan for the future. And this is the first time in ages, and it wasn't even done in a slap your face method. It's just sort of everyone's now just sort of come to that realization. Shit, they are planning long term with this. You know, this is something put on for 5 years.
Yeah, and then after the whole the COVID business and everything like that, I mean, you know, there was a big increase in profits over the last financial year.
Yep.
You know, big rise in crowds, big jump in ratings, like double digit, 25% rise in crowds, double digit TV audience increase.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a good financial position at the moment in terms of like having the assets and the surpluses that they're making year on year now.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that they can get out of America is just going to be a massive bonus.
That's it. That's it.
But the only thing they don't do right so far for the American audience is the only way they can watch it is by subscribing to that Watch NRL app.
Yeah.
And it's fucking expensive. It is fucking expensive.
How much is it?
For people outside of Australia. It's going to cost you, like, it's like $150 US a year. Now, that's probably like Game Pass level kind of expenditure for NFL. And I think if they were really serious, maybe they should, you know, just start, you know, subsidizing that or chuck a year for free to people.
Yeah.
Or something. Because you're not going to get the Fox Sports coverage. So you need to give people an ability to, yeah, or throw them on YouTube for a geo-blocked. I mean, like they put complete games on YouTube now and on the NRL website, like, yeah, you know, the day after or something like that.
Yeah.
They need to provide an easy avenue for them to actually view the sport.
I think that
on TV or streaming,
that horse has bolted in terms of these days. Mm. A lot of it is going to be, you're going to get people who, you know, just like Aussies here, they want to turn the game on and then have a social media experience on their phone while they watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's $200 a year. Oh, hang on. That's Australian dollars. It's 200 Australian for league pass. You're right. That has to be dealt with. Unfortunately, in the last negotiation, and this is where, you know, we spoke about this at the time. Because of COVID, their backs were against the wall so fucking hard. Part of the negotiations last time was the dismantling of the digital app and the digital experience here in Australia. So this is
the single worst thing that's happened in that reign.
Oh, it's fucking horrid.
I mean, now we're fucking chained to that KO cocksucker.
Yeah.
Which is Foxtel. The games.
It's Foxtel. KO is Foxtel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if it was, if it had an easy, like you said, to access digital one, and they've got to understand that because they're a, like, what is it? So football, basketball, baseball, ice hockey, you know, American Premier League soccer, whatever they fucking call it over there.
Yep.
Lacrosse. UFC.
Yep.
The lingerie gridiron one. Well, so what are we? We're now an eight.
Do they still exist?
I don't know.
Do they still exist? The lingerie? I don't know if they. I feel like I'd know if they still existed. Yeah.
You know, we're an eighth. We're an eighth choice at this stage.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Then again, they have to also be reticent to that thing that if you price yourself at $5.95 a month, any price rise is met with, oh my God, you're raising the price of, and I'm not getting anything extra.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yep. All right, let's talk about the games then, hey? Nothing else about Vegas you want to talk about? Did you have any reports on Wars and how and his experiences over there? Has he checked in?
Well, he's a Broncos fan, so his experience over there would have been fucking horrible, just like it was at the grand final. So
But I mean, that's the game itself. I mean, but there's a lot of stuff going around there. But you know, the game itself wasn't the trip. You know, the whole trip. It was just
put it this way.
Yeah, a miserable 80 minutes of it.
Apparently, he lost as hard in Vegas as the Broncos did in the grand final last year.
He was well up and didn't walk out of the casino at the right time. Is that what you're saying? He stayed in the casino 20 minutes too long?
No, it was just a big chin guy came over and ass fucked him when he didn't want it. So, So to paraphrase a message I got from him, you know, I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars in the last 4 months to watch the Broncos lose two games of football. So,
yep.
Congratulations.
Absolutely sensational. I would like to congratulate you for only the worst things in life. And as a Broncos fan, that is exactly what you deserve.
Yep, please keep coming to Broncos games.
Yeah.
This is how Jay treats his fans.
ton of Manly fans that went over there. They all had some great fucking time, spoke, you know, very highly of it. Our buddy Special K, he was over there with a bunch of Manly fans because everyone he works with lives on the peninsula. So he's now become a Manly fan after the Vegas trip. He gets it. And I'm sure anyone here this to come back. Okay, the first game, the Manly side won 36-24. We're not going deep into the line scores and everything like that. Glennie, give us your thoughts on the game, mate. I'll go last.
Look, I thought Manly were good. Rabbitohs did themselves no favours. They really made some errors, critical errors, which Manly were good enough to capitalise on, and they continued to make them, which only increased their frustration levels, which impacted how fluid their game was for large patches of the game. There were times, and we even commented during the membersode about, you know, that the try that that AJ scored on the left there, that was, you know, the epitome of South's left side. And so, you know, it's there, and it's always going to be there when they've especially when they're full strength. So a bit for the Bunnies to work on, but the same sort of Achilles heels, you know, they get in their own heads and the frustration. Sometimes it's with themselves, sometimes it's things the opposition does to get under their skin. And it's a problem if teams, you know, the good teams know that they can get at them mentally. That's a dangerous position for South to be in. But I thought Manly were good. Tommy got through the game. He had a few good moments. I said in the member side as well, I'm happy for Brooksy. It's good to see him happy. He played some good footy, had some good moments, and so I'm happy for him. And, you know, just had to sit through listening to you fucking spurt for half the game.
It's the happiest 80 minutes I've ever seen from Brooksy. The little legs were pumping, and it wasn't all for naught.
When you strip everything down, though, I'm not sure. This is, everyone was saying, oh, Souths were so disappointing.
Souths were okay.
It was, yeah. Well, no, the difference for in the game one. Was one try and goal kicking. The difference is it was one try and goal kicking. Latrell had a fucking shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that's not really, you know, the flow of the game, though, because I mean, that last try the Rabbits got was a fucking, I feel like that was to give Americans the full taste of the NRL, including the bunker doing mystifying fucking decisions awarding tries with double movements. But
I'll tell you, the Bunnies can throw a fucking intercept. South Sydney and fucking intercept passes.
Yep.
Jesus fucking Christ. That and a 5-1.
Same side of the field. Different guy. I mean, there's a trail that threw this one, but same side of the field, same sort of relative position in the field.
Do you know the fascinating thing out of this one? Did you see the penalty count, the ruck infringements? Penalties. Like, I think, six penalties in total for the game, and three ruck infringements.
I think it was weird. I think it feels like we got nearly all the penalties, and they got nearly all the six agains.
No,
which is fucking
no. So there were three ruck infringements. You had two, and they were one. There were six penalties, and you're right, 5-1 in your favor. Yep. In your favor.
Yep.
It's the first game of the season. If South Sydney hold the ball, then they keep momentum in that second half, and who fucking knows? But yeah.
Yeah, the thing that there were a couple of things that were different to previous years, which I really enjoyed, is like the fitness of the side. We were over the top of them at the end of both halves. I mean, they're pretty much on top the entire game. I mean, not in the scoreboard, but just in terms of the play. Ran for over 200 metres more in the game. Daly kicked the shit out of them as well, you know, with the boot. And just the way that they were prepared, not just for the season, but prepared for this particular game with the field the way it was. Because, I mean, we're a team that, like, you know, we like to get it out to Saab and, you know, get out to the wings. And it's, you know, more difficult, you know, with a narrower field. So they just hammered those channels there just on the edges. And, like, Homoli was a no-brainer that he was always going to be that guy you know, do it. And he was the cheat code that he always is, especially like when they figured out that Richie Kenner couldn't fucking move laterally, they just started hammering him with it, you know, for the entire second half. And he had a pretty unhappy second half, although he does go into history books. He will be that pub quiz answer to the question now, like who was the first player, NRL player, to score a try in Las Vegas. But Ben Trbojevic, the physical way that he played as well, he was, I mean, he was drilling Cook and Walker all game long. And little Brooksy, the way that Brooksy fucking got through Cook to score his try at the end, that was what it was. It wasn't just that he scored his try, but like to go through Cook so easily, and then with Cody Walker missing him again on the way to the line, I mean, that was extra satisfying. But overall, like, I was very happy with all of the Manly players, with the exception of Jackson Polo. The depth for wingers, I mean, we got rid of some dead wood, but we've got some wood that's, you know, it's only got a touch of green through it as well, you know, so I don't think he's long for this world in terms of, you know, the injury to Saab would have helped him out, you know, helped him stay out a bit longer, because he was like a 50-50, like, coin flip to win the spot for the first game, and I think he would have been gone this next round had he had Saab not got injured. But yeah, look, the fitness is looking good. The preparation of the guys, their roles, is looking really good for round one as well. Because, I mean, like, you're trying to think, like, it looks, it's just a round one game, but there's some things they did that were just great. They definitely played, you know, both sides of the field, especially through the edges, a lot better. They weren't just swinging it out to the sidelines and, you know, trying to make breaks with the speed men. And then just overall fitness, and the way they don't have like the hugest pack, and they're definitely light on props at the moment, given that they've got, you know, some injuries a suspension to Sipley and the injury to Lodge. The fact that they got like guys like Nathan Brown were like huge coming, and Bullimore were just huge, like with motors, like not the biggest guys, but, you know, with motors, just carrying them forward, you know, late in the halves when they came on. And it was a great debut for Brown, I've got to say. I mean, if you're watching the documentaries through the preseason, they had like a camp, a hell camp that they put new arrivals and rookies through. And he was the guy that came out of that and got the award at the end of it for being the guy that was like, you know, the hardest trainer or the blah, blah, you know, whatever. So, which ultimately won his spot in the side, I think. But yeah, great start. Keep it going. And yeah, go Brooksy. The next game, Roosters. Sorry?
Socials.
Oh, we got socials? Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot we did put the thread up while we were...
We certainly did.
That's right.
We certainly fucking
did. Out of practice.
And by we, I mean you.
Yeah.
Scott said Luke Brooks is who we thought he is. Then there was plenty of discussion
about... I love that. That was like...
Different people's ideas of what he thought he is.
I think I feel like, I don't know what the timestamp on, but I think that was like the first comment, wasn't it? So I don't know, like, Brooksy only made one mistake all game, but I don't know what he was referring to at the time when he posted that. But I think it was way earlier than when he threw that pass, though. I mean, it was the first comment on the game, so it had to have been, right?
Yeah, that's it. Kevin. Yeah,
he certainly had to change his tune as the thread went on.
He said, my three takeaways from this game: Brooks could make Manly dark horse contenders. Saab is really evolving into a legit winger. Latrell is the most overrated player in the comp. He lacks involvement, fitness, and urgency of a superstar fullback. That is an apt description.
Carsten. I mean, Latrell was fucking... He was on one for most of that game. Let's be honest, I agree. He wasn't...
I think that's off. I'm not saying that doesn't apply to Latrell plenty of times, but I disagree with this game.
And look, he might have been getting tired in the last 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But he was on one before that. I mean, he had a very good game before that point.
Is that the thing, though? An elite fullback. Obviously, they're going to be tired. It's hard to get game fit without any games. You know, you can train as much as you want, but it's not games. But he's blowing as hard as he was in the last 15, 20, what an elite fullback does.
Like the entire Manly side was fucking blowing up at 10 minutes, but then they the training started kicking in, and the second wind came home strong. I don't think Latrell was the only guy blowing.
Not at all. Carsten, why did they take two bottom four sides to Las Vegas? I don't know. Maybe to make them feel special. Toto said undefeated Luke Brooks. And there were 9 different variations of Brooks Vale Oval. Hammers. This Brooks kid is a superstar. I'd love to see the system that developed him.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Actually, no, he has seen the system because he was with me that day we went down to the fucking clubhouse at Concord.
Simon. Really shows how slack the Manly forwards are at running hard when the ultimate pussycat, Nathan Brown, looks good.
He was great.
Direct. Harsh words.
Fucking oath.
Strong. Through a lazy clothesline, we had the full Nathan Brown experience.
Bailey. Watching a natural footballer escape the decline is a beautiful thing. I'm here for positive rugby league moments.
There you go.
That's
Brooksy's even lights. He's even breaking out amongst he's even having a breakout season amongst the listeners after round one.
Man, you know what? At our core, we are so seeds of positivity.
Ish.
Oh, Jesus.
Next.
Are we going to Dairy Queen again in 2024?
Oh, I haven't searched that up in ages. I think I need to. If you haven't. Oh, fuck.
All right.
Do you know what did come up?
Sorry, go ahead.
As a Facebook memory from 10 years ago.
What's that? Oh, the Ken Lee thing.
Did you see that?
yeah, that's all
right. Oh, I'm going to post that in the Facebook group.
Yep. That is one of those old internet. Well, it's not even that old, but I mean, yeah, like, yeah.
Well, it's at least fucking 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not goatee old, but it's...
No.
Yeah.
Do-le-bo-de-bo-da-choo. All right.
The Roosters met the Brisbane Broncos in the second game, and the Roosters pulled out a pretty solid 20-10 victory.
Glenny. It certainly did.
Impressive from the Roosters.
Talk about the game outside the racism.
I thought the Roosters were pretty good. Thanks for leaving that out. I appreciate it. Well, I had so many comments. Tedesco, at least for this game, looks like he's going some way to answering. He had a large army of critics last season, and both at club level and representative level, and rightfully so. His form was well down, but this was a bit of a vintage Teddy game. I think the Broncos probably just were... It's weird to say for a team that, you know, the last game they played was in the grand final, but they just lacked cohesion. I think they were just off. Everyone was trying to do, you know,
it's not
Walsh.
Look at the last team that lost to Penrith in a grand final. That was Parramatta. Were you surprised that they were fucking shit last year? And then the year before that was South Sydney. Now they're a fucking rabble. So it's completely predictable.
Yes.
This was always going to happen. Always going to happen. Penrith Steel Souls.
That's awesome.
They have renamed themselves to the fucking Penrith Rowdies. That's how good they are at stealing fucking souls.
Brisbane nowhere near... what we might have expected them to be, but the Roosters come out and, you know, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with this Roosters, you know, the team to beat sentiment that seems to be getting around, but is very impressive round one showing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just like, you think it's a round one match and their errors were low and their attack was, you know, when they had the opportunities was pretty good. And that's all you can really hope, you know. If that's the baseline and you get away with the win, then you know that's great. Especially on, like, you know, what's it, an abnormal kind of difficult trip, you know, all, you know, across the other side of the world to play your game. The Broncos, you know, there were elements of their, you know, like their goal line defense was, you know, was still pretty decent. Their attack was, you know, disjointed and and horrible. And I mean, remember one of the tries that, you know, that the Roosters did get must have been, like, Sabi had a good intercept and you know, but the intercept that Manu had was like potentially the fucking easiest one
yeah
we've ever seen, you know, like So they really threw that away, and with it, you know, any opportunity to, you know, compete at the death of the at the business end of the game. But look, I think the Roosters were like very, very, very solid.
So looking over the stats of this game, one of the things that stuck out to me initially, like these days when you look through a game and you see the top tackle, right? Where do you expect that number to be?
The top tackler?
Top
tackler
side. For each team.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like around 35-ish,
okay,
I'd say.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say I'd normally expect that to be sort of mid-40s, like top tackler.
Yeah, right? I mean, it depends like on how the teams defend and if there are people that need to be picked up by other people and things like that. Like, you remember, like, there were times there where, like, Robbie Farah was pulling, like,
yeah, if your 60. Team's shit, because it means they do a lot of defense. Yeah.
Well, and again, like, it's generally going to be one of the guys in the middle, but it's also because that's where the attack's directed. So here's my question.
Yeah, particularly in these games, you know, with the narrow fields.
Yeah, 100%. But looking over it, like the Broncos' top tackler was Jordan Rickey at 52, which is obviously a little bit high.
Yeah, that's pretty high, yeah.
Then you've got Lindsay Collins for the Roosters at 38. And it's spread.
Yeah, see, I would expect that to be about.
Yeah, but it's then spread, you know, 36 for Wong, 33 for Brandon Smith. I thought he had a very good, very good game. And they were the only ones, only three players made more than 30 tackles in that entire Rooster squad. Now, possession wasn't that stilted. Is that the Roosters? Is that just chance, or is that the Broncos not being specific enough in their attack? Because I thought back to that game, and I didn't get that feeling watching it. I thought the Broncos made a really good point of really going hard all night, but were they not? Did they not have a plan enough in where they were going to try and wear the Roosters down?
Excellent question. I don't have an answer.
Yeah. Interesting. Let us know what you think. Put it in the
joining
Facebook
us now, we have Kevin Walters on the line. Kevy.
My son got a jersey.
What do the socials say for this one?
I think we've had about my favourite comment of the season in this
one.
All
right, let's go.
Hang on. Sorry, I'll just shut it down. Look, we did have our obligatory hashtag, fuck the Broncos. Justin, my favorite,
it's my life.
My favorite part was when the Broncos got flogged. Daniel, do the Roosters have a massive racism issue? First Tedesco calling the Asian girl a name, and now this. Is it time to remove this cancer of a team from the competition? The answer is yes. Kevin, the Roosters looked big and fast. They were making meters at ease. Broncos scramble was good, but it felt like the Roosters were winning the majority of the contact. Fifth tackle options were diabolical, and our offensive discipline wasn't far behind. Old Walshy slow brains was all over the shop, while Teddy looked like he had wound back the clock 5 years. I think that's also going to be...
Like, that was the narrative of last year, how fucking cooked he was, especially through Origin.
Yeah.
And he did, I mean, he did come, you know, better as he sort of lifted towards the end of the season to make that late entry into the finals. He got better, but he was fucking like, that was like vintage Tedesco game. Hogdesco was out the window. The runs he took and the moments that he picked were incisive. The East is going to be, you know, much better this year if he continues to play like that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And to get to my favourite comment, Steve pointed out the highlight of Vegas was Adam Reynolds throwing grass in the air to check for the wind at an indoor fucking stadium.
Outstanding.
Oh, phenomenal.
Look, let's just say old habits die hard, hey? That's ritual and habit, you know?
I think on the Walsh thing, that's going to be crucial for the Broncos this year, is his floor and ceiling. Last year, they were pretty fortunate that his floor and ceiling were you know, they were still very far apart, but he spent more time closer to the ceiling. Because he does have a fucking handling error in his game, or he has a fucking brain snap in defense in his game. And
how's that shoulder charge also, over the sideline as well? Like, anything. I mean, that was a bin last year.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're not Reese Walsh and you're not.
Well, you're not in Vegas. Las Vegas. Yeah.
There's also a lot more tape on him. I think, you know, certainly the good teams are going to, you know, find ways to nullify his impact in the game, which means he's going to have to adapt and evolve to continue to play at the level. And I think, you know, being young, that's no mean feat. So I think he's got that ahead of him.
Up to Kevy.
Well, if it's up to Kevy, they're fucked. So
let's see what Reynolds has to say.
let's hope Reece Walsh figures it out for himself.
Walsh's weakness is, you're right, he's young and he's full of energy and he wants to be on the ball all the time. So he will chase anything down both sides of the field. So if you can be switching up your kicks to be where he's not, and clever halfbacks can work that, he'll run himself ragged in three quarters of a game and be absolutely cooked for the ending of it.
Yeah, he has shown issues with cramping severely and throwing up after high levels of exertion. So maybe that's the way to get Reece Walsh out of the game. Cramp.
There you go.
All right.
Previous.
That's it for your socials.
We're done.
All right, okay, let's get on. Okay, games coming up this week. We start on Thursday night with the Knights taking on the Raiders. This one's at McDonald Jones. Thoughts? I mean, I'll admit, I did not see a ton of preseason games actually at all. I mean, not even the Manly ones, because I wasn't really too into watching the ones that were just like sort of, you know, Blacktown or, you know, reserve grade games with the players off, you know, going off to Vegas and everything. Well, we had first grade players out for, you know, pretty much all trial series. So any thoughts on the form of the Raiders on Newcastle in the lead up, Glennie?
Zero thoughts, because I watched even less trial matches than you.
What the fuck with, like, look, Sticky has his show.
Yes, and he does. Some of them host his show.
We've been among them almost exclusively, yeah. What the fuck is he seeing that puts Danny Levi as a starting nine? And he actually, in the squad cut today, Zach Wolford dropped out. Wow. So that leaves, I guess you got Starling on the bench, and then KO Weeks is there in 18. I mean, he's through the preseason. He was sort of playing in halves as well. So I just don't know if Danny Levi is the starting nine for anyone in 2024.
If I said to you, I want you to write me a list of the safest hands catching a bomb in the NRL, how many props are on that list before you get to Jordan Rabina? Like, I've got at least three.
So you're questioning his selection at fullback?
I am very much so questioning that selection at fullback. Like, he has had...
Yeah, look.
He has had some all-time Barrys under the high ball.
Yep.
That's a fucking bold move, Cotton. Especially when you've got guys like Savage in the team.
Yeah, but remember, you know, on Ricky's own words, he's got to learn how to play the game. He's got to learn to become a first grade player.
Fair enough. by doing a lot of bowl line maybe it's happened over your...
The best way to learn to be a fullback is to play on the wing and defensively making up for the errors that a guy that's actually playing fullback is making.
And also watching the fucking loose unit. Like, I mean, Jordan Rappin is no one's role model either. I mean, the Savage, all he learns there is, like, you know, the odd brain snap, high tackle, Terry Tough cunt into every fucking fray.
And making a cunt of yourself.
Look, if I can make it so you're 5 metres from the fucking attacking line, you can see what Kalen's doing and you might learn something. Newcastle in this one for me.
Same.
Okay, same. Newcastle at home. Canberra, yeah. No, I still don't. Look, they surprised me last year because their preseason was so fucking diabolical. Mm. like the probably the worst preseason I've ever seen for a team putting first grade players into the trials. But you know, they came, you know, they had a reasonable season. So look, I'm not going to write them off at this early stage. Things take a couple of weeks to settle, but Newcastle easily in this one.
Fuck Canberra take and on every the single one of their fans, every last one of them.
I mean, you have that model for you have that motto for like 50% of the sides.
No, not really.
You've made a lot of enemies, Glennie.
It's Canberra and
St. George. You've made a lot of clubs and their supporters your enemies, Glennie.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure they really ever did anything to you.
They're all cunts.
Wow.
Well, Canberra, I get it. I mean, you know, they deprived Blocker and Sierra of the premiership.
Got nothing to do with it, but, and everything to do with Mike Stevenson.
Okay. I was going to say, it's got nothing to do with you anyway because you're a Western Suburbs Magpie supporter at that point. You were coming dead fucking last. The Warriors versus the Sharks. Thoughts, Glennie?
Sorry. My computer just decided to lag.
You got to get your breath back.
I'm like,
after
I was
that.
About to start making Drop comments light. On the Warriors Sharks game, and my computer was still telling me that the Knights and Raiders were. We were still talking about that.
Yep.
I'm excited to see RTS back, and I think the Warriors at home, off the back of what they did last year, I think they will have a very impressive showing against it at what promises to be a pretty tough and physical Shark side, as always. It's kind of their DNA. But I think the Warriors, they'll continue to build on what they established last year, and I think the Warriors are in for a big season.
I really hope they are. I really hope the Warriors are in for a fucking great season. They overperformed last year.
Yeah, what's your metric for a great season though? Because I mean, like they had a great season last year.
They 100% they did, but I'm saying I hope they have another one. I'm not saying didn't. I hope they have another great season. It hinges so much on whatever it was that motivated Sean Johnson to be that version of himself last year. Has to still be there.
Scaffold.
Fucking hell, man. Whatever it was that motivated him can't have just been, I've got enough for one shot at this, and oh well, we went out in the finals, so now we're back to what we were. They should be on paper a better side than last year with RTS back.
Yep.
The Sharks though, this time of the season is their time. They are big, they are fast, they are athletic, especially in the backs. And coming in just naturally, they should be fitter than most teams they play. Should be. So I
expect. Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of continuity in that Sharks side as well. I mean, they're pretty much running out 1 through 17, pretty much, you know, what they ran out all season.
Just with the exception of fucking Fatakai, who they still insist is not a forward.
Yeah.
They're persisting with that fucking experiment, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully RTS just fucking scores 9 million tries against him.
Please.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're lining up next to each, you know, across from each other, I mean, the disparity in footwork is.
There's lateral movement. It'll be quite something to witness. And there's not. And this is what we have in this game.
Like a jet ski fucking getting around an oil tanker. It's
that has sunk already.
So I think that it wasn't an oil tanker, it was actually the Titanic. And it's been sunk for that long and it's that stuck in the fucking mud. Look, we want the Warriors to win anyway, whether they win or not. The Storms take on the Panthers. Friday night football. Korean housewife in Melbourne. Melbourne Storm have some kind of streak to the tune of about 22 years straight where they haven't lost in round one.
Yeah.
It's on the line. For the Panthers side, you know, they don't mind losing in round one.
No.
Even when they've been good.
Tell you what, so, what the fuck do you have to do to get a home game in round one? You know, win three premierships obviously isn't enough.
Well, you fucking got a home game last year and lost to the Broncos.
Yeah, true. So we don't deserve nice things.
Yeah, no, so now, so you had your chance and then it's been revoked. But you had a home World Club challenge as well, revoked. Yeah.
Yeah. What you've got to do to get a home game you had the nice in round things, one you didn't appreciate in the nice 2024 things. Is to win your fucking round one home game in 2023. Jesus.
Oh, God. Yeah, look, the boys are coming back for another campaign with big chunks of their side gone. You know, it's the losses that they've had are by no means small. Crichton was firmly in that fucking mould just as Kikau was the year before. Whereas by the time, when it was announced they were leaving, I was sad. But obviously you don't begrudge anyone that's won your club, you know, one, let alone two or three rings, going off and chasing the money. But the end of Critter's season last year, he was just by far the best centre in the competition, and was instrumental in that grand final comeback. Cleary gets all of the hype and
he was the catalyst.
He was the architect.
He was the catalyst for it.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like he had, you know, I think he actually should have gotten more of the credit for it than yeah. you know than Cleary yeah, mopping that's up. That's it.
And,
you know?
And look, Cleary's got the narrative which, you know, player. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it there. At this stage, I was reading Munster's 50-50. He's been named in the side.
Yep.
What they do with him, let's see. But again, this is a Melbourne Storm team that I think will be smarting a bit from last year. They had some high expectations, and I think they feel like that underperformed, especially from their metrics. They're infinitely beatable. You know, it looks as if... You know, they've got some advantages in the forwards with players like Harry Grant. But then the amazing forwards that had been their bread and butter, like Welsh is coming off the bench. I don't know whether he's a bit underdone or he had an injury in the preseason or they're just starting him there to, you know, see that the other guys warm up. But Penrith, 13 plus, put your house on it.
I think Pappy's inclusion is great as... is to see. I think that, you know, if he can be anywhere near his best to start the season, it probably brings Melbourne improves them slightly from the purple plotters. Yeah. But
look, Penrith are vulnerable.
He looked good in that trial performance that he had. Definitely. I did see his trial, and he did look great. Scored an amazing try that was like Pappy vintage.
I guess we'll see with Melbourne. You look at that spine on paper, it's up there with the best in the competition, right? But
well, just
fuck,
on
there's
paper.
Some plotters around them, though.
On paper, it would have to be. Like, even if you look at that Penrith spine, Elite 7, Elite 6, Elite 1, Average 9.
Mm.
They are representative.
Inexperience.
They are representative.
Inexperience, are they?
At every level there.
Yeah, you got, like, Warbrick came on last year, really impressed with him, but Remus Smith and Nick Meaney in the centres, please. Please. And yeah. I guess it's only nullified slightly by...
Meaney did have an incredible season last year.
He's still Nick Meaney.
Didn't he retire? He was gone. Didn't he retire from the Dogs?
No, he was playing... He was playing... I don't think he retired from the Dogs to get out of them. I think he just left.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't. Well, he didn't like to. He didn't to be the pang either.
Yeah. And, okay.
You know, you got
which is another couple of us to talk about one day.
I don't know. Absolute fantastic spine, but I don't like the rest of that side.
I don't like the side. I don't like the look of the Storm side at all, and you see, it's definitely far more like sort of transitional than. Then they're doing that thing where they're slightly getting worse in terms of personnel, yeah. Slightly getting worse, you know. And look, Penrith had to prepare for a real game, so I'm just going to say they had a more serious preparation and more settled lineup apart from the aforementioned nine. So I'm going to go with them.
Solid favourites away from home in round one too. Penrith, $1.61 to $2.31 for this Storm.
Yeah. Penrith have won 1 from 8 in Melbourne.
Crazy. And then Storm got that big streak going as well. So it's, look, there's a lot of omen stuff in there if you believe in it, but...
And I don't, but I acknowledge it exists.
Yeah.
Doesn't that by definition mean you believe in it?
No. Right. I acknowledge it happens. I don't believe that it happens because of an omen.
Hmm.
You know, there's not some mystical thing that makes it happen, but
The statistics exist.
Yeah.
The statistics are real.
Here's a question.
The Eels take on the Dogs. Go ahead.
Is Dane Laurie the Gen Z Tyrone Peachy?
Like he's just talking about the boomerang nature and direction in which he travelled.
You know, he's sort of was great at Penrith. Fell out of favour. Left. He looked good in our jersey when they won a grand final, but you know, went to the Tigers, fell out of favour there, and then he's come back. So is he the millennial Peachy?
But he actually was great at the Tigers there too. He's like the player of the year that first year, wasn't he?
That's it. Yeah. But he's the Gen Z version, because he's done sort of the same stuff as Peachy, but just sort of taken a few shortcuts and it's not as good. I don't know.
Didn't take a holiday detour up to the Goldie.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe that's what he needs. Should have sent him up to fucking Bears for a while.
Are you paying Tyrone Peachy a compliment? Sort of?
Fucking premiership winner Tyrone
Peachy. I think he's shitting on Dane Laurie. I don't know.
Yeah. Puts
I'm having trouble following the narrative.
there's no narrative there. I thought about it today. I was like,
Jay's speaking and everyone's confused. Fucking shocked me.
The Eels take on the Dogs. CommBank Stadium, Saturday afternoon. The Dogs officially now, after getting rid of Raymond Fatala Mariner, they have in 3 years have officially achieved complete roster turnover.
Wow.
He was the last remaining player from 2021.
Was he?
In their club. Yeah. So they've completely rotated the entire squad at this point.
Yeah, you're right.
So, look, what does that mean? I mean, it's, you know, you've got a relatively inexperienced coach and head coach dealing with what is, you know, large player turnover. Can he pull them together? I mean, he certainly seems to be accumulating better players over the years, but, you know, there's still some gigantic holes, I think, all across that Canterbury lineup. And, I'm not sure that this.
You know what there also is in the Bulldogs lineup? Like, they've got...
What's that?
They've put a lot of time and effort and money into acquiring stars like Crichton, Addo Carr, Burton. You know.
Reed Marnie.
Kickow. And then they've got the worst player in the NRL coming off the bench, Kurt Mann. Give me a fucking break. Way to fucking nullify all the fucking good.
If you're going on a spending
spree.
If you're going on a spending spree and then you get to the counter and just grab like a fucking pack of Mentos or something. Kurt Mann's just the fucking...
Kurt Mann is like when you buy a succulent Chinese meal and they give you a free packet of fucking prawn crackers. That's what it is. Give me a fucking break.
Eels
by plenty. Sorry?
Look, I'll tell you, at least they're playing Stephen Crichton in the centres.
Yes.
The last time they got a world-class centre from Penrith, they slapped a number 6 on his back and turned him into a case of fucking walking depression.
Look, don't discount the fact that if they didn't buy Blake Taff, Crichton would have the one on his back.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. And look, it's worth also noting in the Parramatta lineup, it's the Parramatta debut of Morgan Harper in the centres, and I can see Kelma Tolongi there on the bench as well. So let's see if he's opposite Crichton, even though I think Karaz has probably got him covered.
to your point, I know the spine's obviously the most important part of the team in terms of creativity and playmaking. But we were saying that the Melbourne team had four elite level players, four superstars.
Mm-hmm.
The Dogs, so they've got Crichton, representative player in his position. Addo Carr, representative player in his position. Burton, they're playing him out of the centres.
But rep player?
Yeah. Marnie, rep level player.
Correct.
Kickow,
mm-hmm.
in the second row, rep level international.
Yep.
Like, there's five straight off the bat.
Yep.
And the fucking difference in quality between Melbourne and the Dogs.
Yeah. Course, but I'll take your five. Well, that's Melbourne's I'll take players, your five
Melbourne's,
dogs.
Melbourne's players are in distributing and skill positions, whereas the Doggies, they do have their superstar in quotes, Matt Burton, there in six. But I mean, he has proven time and time again in his time at the Dogs that he's good for a fucking wonky bomb to make someone drop.
Yep.
Or a kick that Addo Carr gets.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not distributing the ball adequately to, like, to any edges or his centres or anything like that.
Can I tell you,
he's not ball playing.
I still insist that he is the fucking missed opportunity in the next evolution of our game. Because the last really big change in player roles and what players were expected to do was when Cameron Smith came into the hooking role. And he had such a beautiful short game and kicking game that then developed into a long kicking game that it was like they had three halves on the field. To have that ability out in the centres as well, I think if he'd have stayed at Penrith for another year or another two, that would have been something that Ivan could have worked into the game plan and every other team would have been chasing it as well, or at least started to train their centres. So for a position that people have typically wanted to get out of, to get more money, I've capped out what I can get as centre money. Now I want to go chase fullback money. It might have also made the centre position relevant again.
Well, I think if the Bulldogs play in Vegas next year, Burton's going to put up about 900 bombs trying to get a fucking NFL kicking contract.
Fucking good on him.
I was going to say, that's the next evolution of Matt Burton.
Yeah.
He's realising that he's not a 5'8", and he's in a miserable cunt of a club, and going over. And look, while punter money is not the riches of a quarterback or a star player, it's still probably triple what he'd be getting at the Dogs
for doing a lot less
fucking work and taking zero contact.
Yeah, risk versus reward. Greatest job.
Yeah, the contact he's taking is literally maybe he might have to put a hit on a guy if the special teams break down and the guy's returning it.
Yeah.
And if he takes contact after a kick, then it's going to march him downfield for a penalty as well. So, that's what he should be doing with it. I mean, because he is special. He is special with the boot.
Yeah. The other thing,
and he won't have to play with Kurt Mann if he goes to the NFL.
Are you guys on the NRL website at the moment?
Yes.
A look at that fucking picture of Bronson Cherry, and just look at the ratio between the end of his face and the end of his shoulders. He did some fucking training in Thailand. Training in inverted commas.
He opened a juice bar in quotes with Shandor Earl. Look, we've seen the media around his
fucking hell.
Like that,
But no, look at him. Look at the guys. Look at the guys above and below him. Look at Toby Sexton and Curtis Morris. Look at the ratio between the sides of their heads to the sides of their shoulders. And then look at Cherry. He's a fucking caricature.
I'm not sure Toby Sexton is a barometer for anything.
Oh.
No.
But I take your point.
I'm inclined to agree.
I also feel Para is going to win this game.
Yeah, I think so as well. Easily consigning the Dogs the first couple of bricks on their long road to another miserable fucking bottom four season. The Titans take on the Dragons. The Dez era begins. Promising, I guess, like a harder defensive focus than the Titans traditionally seen. I mean, the Titans are absolutely the team that will win or lose a game, 28-26 every fucking time. Or maybe even accumulate like a 26-0 lead to lose at 28-26.
Unless they're playing the Tigers.
And the Dragons, the team that after, you know, after the preseason they had, I mean, they were, you know, by far and away, after week one, up to and including week one of the trials, they were by far and away my favoured side to get the spoon. And then in the second week of the trials, they played the West Tigers side that was almost full strength. And
that changed your opinion on who was getting the spoon.
Yeah, with the ease with which they handled the West Tigers, maybe think that maybe the Dragons are second last this year. Maybe. And look, in the Gold Coast trial that I saw, their defence wasn't particularly great, so I don't know what the fuck Desi's been doing either. This one, I don't know. You're going to have to assume, you know, round one, no real form to go on. Titans, I'm going to assume, Titans definitely had a better preseason because the Dragons had Flano and he couldn't fucking sign a park footballer and get him over there. So, I'm saying Gold Coast. But without any real confidence about how they're going to actually go, I mean, AJ Brimson in centres? Really?
Wouldn't be my choice.
Is that his best position?
Wouldn't be my choice.
Is that his best? What's that?
It wouldn't be my choice for where he plays. But
yeah, I think I saw some media that's not his choice either.
Mm.
And I mean, I guess for him the plus side is that he only plays like fucking five games a season anyway, so he's not going to be there for a long time. But
and then you've got the young Keeney there at fullback. 19-year-old when you got Brimson, who's more than capable of playing one. I wouldn't suggest for a second that he's going to put Kieran Foran out of a job, but you could definitely play him at one. But they've got a 19-year-old kid there.
You reckon there'll be a switch?
Switch to what?
You think there could be a switch there? Just like push Sammy into the centres and then Brimson fullback and just stick Kenny on the wing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just a big vote of confidence from Desi.
Maybe Des is playing mind games. Des is playing fucking chess and everyone else doesn't give a fuck.
Yep.
Yeah, or is it a
much like much like that game?
You know, in training or in the off season, it's the makeup of the team is best that way. Even though Brimson may be a better fullback, but the other kid may be a much worse winger. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. Gold Coast, presumably easily too.
Yeah, fuck the Dragons and every single one of their fans.
Wow.
Yeah, because while the way they played in the second trial against the Tigers there, it really disappointed me because I was so looking forward to the Dragons are going through like a winless, miserable fucking season. But I think they might be able to.
You still can. Don't give up hope.
A game.
Look, in that last trial they had, they let in lots of fucking points against the Tigers, which is about the most damning thing you can do in rugby league, apart from actually being the Tigers.
Yeah.
They are fucking
maybe
horrible.
Anyway.
They are putrid and their halfback doesn't want to be there.
That is true. That is a subplot I actually forgotten over the off season.
Yeah.
How am I forgetting that? Incredible. the Dolphins taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. This one's happening at Suncorp Stadium. The Dolphins were rocked by the some injuries. And I thought that I heard that Herbie or someone was maybe in doubt. Obviously, he's not in doubt anymore. Gilbert did his ACL.
ACL.
In the trials, didn't he? So
he's gone.
So he's going to be out for fucking ages, yeah.
That's it. Yep. Already season. Gone.
Wow. And yeah. And like that, he was inspirational for those. I mean, he was a big part of the way they went in that sort of first third of the season.
Yep.
And it was a huge loss for them then with when he went down with injury, and now doing a whole year without him is not great. The Cowboy side, they had some reasonable try. I actually did see part of a game they had against Canberra where they lost, but they did come home strong and score a lot of tries. fairly consistent lineup too. Like, there's a lot of continuity in there, in
there is.
The side, you know, as it was last year when they had a good season. I mean, based on that, I'm going to go for the Cowboys, but you know, Wayne's got his aura back with the Dolphins,
for sure.
And you know, with another off season with some of these young guys that he's kind of, you know, had to bring in for the recruitment, and you know, Nicarima and Sullivan more time together. Who knows? Hammer's always dangerous.
Yeah, I want.
And
look,
Herbie Farnworth and Flegler are big ins.
They are. I want another magical Kaufusi season. Him turning into the fucking default leader of that pack last year was one of my favourite storylines of 2023.
Fair.
Where he just turned in, like, all of a sudden, turned into, the, like, not a thug, like, turned into an assassin, like a fucking John Wick precision assassin, weighing 250 kilos and just murdering people. That was absolutely amazing.
I'm pumped. Dolphins. Me too. Yeah, me too. You pump me up now. I like it.
Let's go.
You're feeling it now.
Yeah, that's it. Fuck the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys. Don't get too high on fucking Benny Juice. All right. Don't get too high on jam rolls. Now, that's it. Fuck. Forgot we already had a couple of games out of the way already. Get your tips in if you're in a tipping competition. Any closing statements from either of you two before we pull the pin on this?
Tigers will put in a solid performance against the bye and probably lose narrowly, but it's early days.
Funny you mentioned that. I'll have to give credit to the guy who sent us the message about it, although it is something that occurred to me as well, and I was trying to hold it in the chamber for this moment of the show last week. The thing about the Tigers is, Glennie, they're going to get a glorious win against the bye, but with a total absence of for and against in the game, they're going to finish the round in ninth. Guaranteed. And I would also like to shout out Chris for also sending us something. CJ07 on Twitter, CJ4AYY07. For also sending DMing that to us a couple of days ago.
That's brilliant.
And
right back where we
It's beautiful. Belong. I love it that the listeners of the show, they're just thinking the whole time the brain's working, they're thinking West Tigers, last ninth, last night. Like, that's it. The duality of the West Tigers, man. Last or ninth.
And that is full time on this episode of This Week in League.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for picking up the phone. Thanks for calling, Glennie.
Oh, look, you're more than welcome, mate.
I know it's been a tough week for the Toowoomba people with all this Spencer and new shit going on, so I appreciate it.
You're a piece of shit.
Thanks for representing.
Good night.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.